The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture, that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The importance and the significance of what we celebrate today could not be summed up so profoundly in the words of St. Paul. St. Paul said, "If Christ has not been raised, then empty is our proclamation. Empty too our faith. If Christ has not been raised, our faith is in vain." Those were the exact words of St. Paul in explaining what the resurrection is for every believer. It is central to who we are. If Christ was not raised from the dead, then we could not really speak of him as God. We could just speak of him as someone who did great things and eventually suffered a very sorry end. But Christ did resurrect from the dead, and it changed everything. The question that we can ask ourselves is, you know, what is our response to this most central tenet of the faith, the resurrection of Jesus? The gospel story today is very pedagogical. It's very instructive as to what should be our response to this central belief of who we are. By looking at the primary characters in the story. I mentioned last night in the Easter vigil that before the resurrection, that the disciples, including those who were following Jesus, just lost hope. They were in despair. You know, understandably so. They were following this guy for 3 years, and they put everything on him. They left their families. They left their occupations. And suddenly, he died. They were paralyzed by fear. Their world just stopped. That was the life and the situation of the disciples and also those women who were following Jesus. Their life just pause. But after the resurrection event changed everything. I was telling the people last night that in the gospel today, there were a lot of movements, a lot of running. Mary Magdalene ran, the disciples ran, People were running all over the place. Before that, they were static. And this is really what resurrection is. It is the dynamic movement of God in our lives. We cannot just stay still. Eastering is allowing the dynamic movement of the Spirit to conquer us. We can't just keep still. It's not going to be business as usual. That is why the second reading today from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, it speaks so eloquently as to what should be our response to this great mystery of the resurrection. St. Paul said, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek what is above." That is what is being asked of us. You know, what we celebrate here is not just an event in the past. We're not celebrating something that just happened in the past, but rather resurrection, Eastering, continues to happen each day. It's not just something that happened in the past that God did for me, but rather God continues to do it in our lives. But He can't do it if we don't allow Him, if we don't respond, if we don't say yes to that dynamic movement of God. You know, this is the great mystery of love, of God's love. You know, in as much as He is powerful, almighty, omniscient, omnipotent, and all of that, He can't really do anything if we don't allow Him. Is it not wonderful? You know, you can't force love to a person. You cannot force a person to love you, right? But we know that to be outside of God's love, there's no life. Outside of the realm of God's embrace, there is no happiness. Outside the realm of God, it's just gonna be a blah. A blah. The responses of the disciples in the gospel today are really interesting for me. You know, we were told that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early in the morning. You know, that description in the Greek original of this is actually powerful. It says that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb at the very first instance that she was allowed to. You know why? Because it was still Saturday and Jews were not allowed to do anything on Saturday. It was Sabbath. They were not even allowed to walk to a certain distance. So Mary Magdalene was vigilant, was waiting, was looking at her watch and say, okay, I'm a minute away for the Jewish law to allow me to go. And she went at the very first opportunity that was permitted. And we were told that He went to the tomb while it was still dark. But you know, the darkness here at the time of the day was also mirroring the darkness that she was experiencing in her life for losing her best friend. She was not able to realize that Christ resurrected because she was filled with grief. You know, I realize in my own life, you know, whatever I'm struggling, if I just concentrate on the problem, on the negativity of what is set before me, it feels like it's the end of it. But if I bring it to prayer, if I allow the power of God to actually fill my heart, then I'm filled with hope. I'm no longer just seeing the problem in front of me, but rather I am seeing the Eastering of God. But Mary Magdalene was so filled with grief that she could not see anything except loss, except defeat. And the resurrection of Jesus practically was telling her, Mary Magdalene, I'm no longer here. But your grief is still hindering you to see the reality of what I am willing to give you. You know, sometimes our hurtful past, our bad experiences, whatever bad things that we experience, sometimes if we are still so much immersed into them, hinders us to truly experience the resurrection. That's one response, the response of Mary Magdalene. The second response were that of John and Simon Peter. It was Mary Magdalene who went to them and say, hey, they have taken the Lord. You know, Mary Magdalene, because she was the first one who witnessed the resurrection, is referred to as the apostle to the apostles. Could you imagine a woman who was considered to be so sinful during her time became the first and the most important announcer or proclaimer of the most important part of our faith? You see, it's a celebration of hope. Sometimes, you know, because of our past or because of what the past of other people, we say, oh, I have no hope. But God sees differently. God sees the potential. And Mary Magdalene became the apostle to the apostles. So don't cross yourself out or other people. Is that a timer for my homily? It's Easter, okay? So give me a little bit of slack. No, I'm just kidding. She became the apostle to the apostle. You can be that too. You know, don't discount yourself. The other response was that of Peter and John. You know, they ran. You know, when the life-giving word of God, when God's love is proclaimed to you, you know, if I ask myself, do I have the same excitement of Peter? You know, when the love of God is announced to you and God's wanting for you to have eternal life, you know, what is your response? Do you run right away? Or just like, oh, I have other things to do. But you know, it's interesting. Peter was so overwhelmed with that experience. Or the other disciple was so overwhelmed and was filled with fear that we were told in the story that initially he didn't want to get into the tomb. You know, how many times the gospel is announced to me and I am so convinced of this reality, but I, like John, wanting just to stay right there at the door and don't want to get into the mystery. Why? I can only speak of myself. Sometimes it's because of my shame. And the other thing too is the question, do I have what it takes to actually enter into this mystery? What will this require of me if I enter into the tomb? Do I have the courage to change and change my priorities? Do I have the courage to give up what I need to give up because they are hindering me to truly flourish in God? So, you know, I know it's great news, but I'm going to stay right here just in the door. I can just peek in. I can just do this time by time, several times in a year. But I don't really want to enter in because it's like, oh my, I'm not ready for this. But I like the response of Peter. What did, you know, did you hear in the gospel? Mimi, you have your book, and I always put you on the spot. What was the response of Peter? What did he do when he get there right into the tomb? We were told that he bent down and entered. He bent down and entered. You know, what is bending down? It's a sign of humility. Bending down is a sign of humility. It's not a very comfortable entering into the tomb. To truly enter into the mystery of God, into the love of God, it requires a lot of self-emptying. It requires a lot of bending down in order to get into this very narrow door. But when we get in, you will be filled with great joy. You will be filled. You know, guys, the resurrection really, in the end, is about celebrating a God who wants you so bad. No matter what your past is, no matter what you have done, it is a God who is telling you, I died for you and I resurrect for you because I truly love you. Who doesn't want to be in love with that God? You know, right? Who doesn't want to be in love with that God? So that is why, guys, we cannot stay in mediocrity. We cannot stay in mediocrity. We cannot just keep still and say, okay, Easter is over. I'm over with that mass. Back to my old life. No. And you know, you are here for a reason. No matter what the reason is or whatever brought you here today, God called you here today. He planted that desire in your heart, or he planted that desire in another's heart, in your spouse's heart, or in your children's heart. Because even if this is the only opportunity for you to hear that he loves you, he want to still grab this opportunity to tell you that he wants you so bad, and he wants you to truly be joyful, to truly have the fullness of life. Happy Easter, everyone. You know, it's a joyful day, and let us continue rejoicing.